It's Friday morning, the beginning of the Israeli weekend, and Shenkin Street is packed. The popular avenue is filled with cafes, boutiques, and young people enjoying the Mediterranean sun. During the 2 years I lived here, there was only one bomb in Tel Aviv, so I was never scared. But now, with all the violence from the last few years, I am. I feel vulnerable sitting here in this cafe, even as I enjoy my meal. This trip is more than a vacation to see friends and family. This time, I've given myself a task. Back in the U.S., I feel like Americans get a skewed view of Israelis. The news shows soldiers, or settlers, or maybe some activists, but little about the everyday lives of regular people who worry about security, the economy, and the high unemployment. So on this trip, I decided to interview my friends and relatives about what life has been like here lately. I visit my friend Hidai and his wife Rinat in Jerusalem. Rinat tells me about one way their life is different now.
I don't travel on buses. Hidai also doesn't travel on buses. He's not allowed to do so. Neither am I. It's pretty stressful. You don't know what will happen another second, minute, another half hour.
You're a typical baby. Think it's so funny.
Lori sits in the kitchen in her home in Beit Shemesh, a suburb of Jerusalem. She bounces her four-month-old Tal'el on her lap as we talk. Lori tells me about one small thing that's changed since I moved away 6 years ago. There's no longer sad music on the radio when there's a bombing.
You know, you hear the report on the radio of the, you know, bombing or whatever, and as soon as they've finished with the most interesting part of that, they go back to playing, you know, pop music. And the, you know, newscasters are smiling and joking, and life goes on.
Do you think people have just become a little bit, like they can't get so upset about each event?
You can't live constantly, I think, in fear and depression. The increased stress from worrying all the time, from being scared all the time, has an effect on your life in lots of different ways you don't realize. You know, you might be quicker to get angry with your children, for instance, when it has your children haven't done anything wrong. You were just nervous because you were just, you know, driving past a public place where there could be a bombing, let's say.
So with all the challenges here, why do people stay? I asked my friend Michal, who has traveled around the world but now lives in a small town in northern Israel.
Wow.
We walked to the edge of a hilltop where the valley and hills of the Golan, bordering Syria, spread out in front of us in shades of gold and green.
This is my place. Here people speak my language. They understand my jokes. I understand their jokes. My heart is here.
I haven't spent time with Michal since the second Palestinian uprising began 4 years ago, and I ask her if she's seen any changes in the country since then.
There was so much hope before. There was the thought that we're on the right path. And suddenly, it was like something awful happened, and there's almost no hope. But what they do to us and what we do to them, I don't see how something good can come out of it. The lack of trust between the sides, maybe that's the biggest change. The lack of hope.
What are your thoughts for the future, and also what are your, like, what do you see and what do you hope for the future?
I want a family at some stage. I want a house. I want that nobody close to me should get hurt.
The day before I leave the country, I attend my cousin's wedding. They seem so hopeful, dancing and celebrating, for the time being forgetting the turmoil outside the wedding hall. As I watch them, I realize something. I thought I was conducting these interviews to help Americans understand that Israelis are normal people who live in a tough place at a tough time. But the truth is, I wanted to see for myself what had changed since I left. So the answers I wanted weren't for you, they were for me. I wanted to find out how my friends and family managed to go on in the face of all this. I didn't find any easy answers to that question, but I saw that, somehow, they do. For the World Vision Report, this is Cynthia Graber.